Okay, the title of this message is called Dominion, and it's a continuation of the Gospel of Man. So we're going to repeat a few things that we just talked about. Thank you, Rex, for helping me do that. We're going to go over it again because we need to, because it's new, right? So in order for us to understand a gospel of love correctly, which begins with not righteousness, but really clearing up our misunderstanding of what judgment is. And if we were talking before, if we misinterpret judgment, the word judgment, which all of us have done, we can't understand righteousness correctly. So if those two don't come in line and kiss each other and meet, will never understand righteousness. It will be a work. It will be something you need to do. And you won't be able to look at your loved ones or your friends and see them righteous. See them already saved. You know, God doesn't live in time and space. And just that statement alone has to tell you that He already sees everybody in. Isn't that crazy? He sees everybody in already and safe. He has to. He has to. That's why He said, I am the beginning and the end all wrapped into one. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So we're judging in between the Alpha and the Omega. And He sees the end from the beginning, see?
And we're in the middle making a mess.
And we're in the, yeah, there you go. We're in the middle making a mess. Good. Good word. We're judging the appearances, guys, okay? If you want an even keel life, you can't follow the pattern. There's no pattern. You can't say there's a pattern. You can't say there's a pattern of blessing. You can't say any of that stuff. Keep it to yourself. If things get a little easier for you, don't get too excited about it. Because if you get too excited, then you'll really hit the bottom when it don't, see? That's what I mean, right? So it's the good side of the wrong tree that trips us up way more than the bad side. It's the good side that we've mistaken for righteousness. That's why we can't just say, I understand righteousness. We can't, because we've called that good. We said that's good, and it's not good. Is there anything good about it? It always judges. So, I want to focus back in on teaching that's happened within this ministry that's been handed down to us from the infinite way. Because now I was a student, and it was so wonderful. I threw my line out, guys. I threw my line out. And I set everything aside I knew. It was so good, I said, I don't want to miss nothing, so I'm going to set everything aside. And as I started walking away from it, I began to realize there were some things I wasn't comfortable with. I didn't know why. But I just thought, you know, I don't think I can. I took it in, but I would never spoke it. See, that's what I just took it in, and I said, okay, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to say nothing. And I wasn't teaching then. I was just listening. I was so excited. All the stuff I was hearing and listening to Tony and listening to Joel and Lanyon, like, wow. This is deep stuff, and it's so cool. I'm just going to listen, you know. And then Tony started pushing me, you know, to start speaking and sharing. And when he said that, I was scared to death. And all of a sudden, it came to me, the message of righteous judgment, which started this ministry. Jocelyn was here at that meeting. I don't know if you guys were here or not, but our first meeting, that was our message. This is the message expanded. Because even then, at that time, I was mixing some leaven in with it. I was mixing it. So what we're going to talk about is the things we're mixing in with this pure message that ruin it. We've got to identify some of these areas of belief we've had that don't line up with this righteous judgment, right? Or it won't help us. We'll go out of here and it won't help us. We'll say, boy, that was really good, but the cares of this world will come and steal it away. So I've got to help you I want to help you deal with the cares of this world, which are really systems of belief that we've entertained that aren't right. And I got to speak it. I can't help it. I got to say it. So it's been said, man has lost his dominion over the earth. It's been said, man's lost his dominion over the earth. And I guess, in one sense, that can be true. If you believe you're a man, right? If you believe you're a man, you've lost your dominion, that's for sure. Because there's no such thing as a man. And until you realize you're not man, you'll be seeking a God and there's none to be found. If you believe you're a man, you're looking for a God out there to come and help you. So yes, man has lost his dominion, but it's the dominion ain't the problem. It's because he thinks he's a man. Now, the definition that comes behind that we've been hearing, is the gospel of man says that the lion will lay down with the lamb. Right? So we've taken these verses and we've interpreted them as something literally happening in this world, right? We've just been talking about that now for hours. Is anything going to happen in this world that we can trust? If you start trusting it, you start judging it. If you trust it, you judge it. Don't trust it. If you judge it, you become religious, okay? Because you'll say, why is this happening? And right, boom, you're religious right after that. As soon as you say that, why is this happening in the world? It's what's formed religion. So we've taken these verses. We think a friggin' lion's going to lay down with a lamb. And the snake's going to quit biting people. And mosquitoes are going to quit sucking blood. This is nuts. I'm just telling you, this ain't true. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Hello? Hello? Come in. I'm trying to dial the radio and my kingdom's not of this world. Can you hear it? My kingdom's not of this world. We're trying to get rid of the static, okay? Hello? My kingdom's not of this world. Period. Full stop. So don't look at the world and try to make sense of it. There's nothing out there that's going to give you anything you can bank on, period. Including this body. We just read the body's going. We just read it. Go read it again. It said it more than once. Forget about your body. That doesn't mean don't take care of it, but if something don't work, you're going to be okay. All right? You're going to be okay. You're not going to die because you got a bad diet. You're not going to die because you get some disease. You're not going to die from heart failure. You're not going to die from kidney failure because you're never going to die. Hello, hello, come in. There's another one. You're never going to die. You're never going to die. Nobody dies. Tony said it 1,000 times. But then we go back and we say things that unravel it, see? We do. Well, we got to quit doing that. It's driving me nuts. We've got to get rid of all this contradiction, see, because it steals away this righteous judgment. So the righteous judgment is awful good, but then I go out and the cares of this world steal it. Because I think I need to have dominion over my mosquitoes on my farm. But mosquitoes on my farm don't bite people. If a lion shows up and crosses my property line, he'll lay down. He won't eat anything. He won't bite nothing. He'll become a vegetarian. I'm not kidding you now. I can show you some stuff. It says that we were all grazers before we left the garden. Okay? None of this is true. Okay? It's all a bunch of fairy tales. Okay? So, this is all just foolishness of man trying to bring to establish his own kingdom on earth. Guys, now listen to me. This isn't any different than the Hebrews waiting for the Messiah to come. It's no different. Are we ever going to leave Hebrewism? Can we walk away from all that stuff? Because every religion out there is just following the pattern of the Hebrews. Every religion. We got to walk away from Hebrewism, guys. You got it. You're calling some god Yeshua and Yahweh and Yeshua and Elohim, and God doesn't have no Hebrew name. His name is righteousness. His name is righteous judgment. That's his name. His name is I judge no man. That's his name, and that's what you better focus on. That's a long name. But Jerry and I were talking about it. If you go in and read scripture, you're going to get confused. You got to look for threads. And when you know something and you know something and you know something, don't believe it if it don't line up with that. Quit it. Stop it. Go away. Walk away from it. And let it go. You know, we can't do that. So our desire to bring change to the world, to bring priests to the world, is the cause of hell and destruction that we see in this world. It's the cause of it. We've got to realize that. Quit looking to this world to try to find peace. It's never, because they say, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Well, we know that. So where does eternal life dwell? Where does victory at? Where does faith speak? Well, the three amigos overcame the world when they understood the true gospel by saying, but if not. That's the three amigos. Kathy and all her story of her plight, struggling with sickness and death, overcame the world when she said it no longer mattered whether she lived or died. You can read her whole book and you can sum it all up if you just read that one little passage where she says, you know, I finally come to the understanding that it no longer mattered whether I lived or died. That's rising above this world. That's rising above what was going on with her body. It's rising above the circumstances. It's not judging by appearances, right? Same thing as the three amigos. They said the same thing. So, this is the secret to faith and dominion. This is the secret. Dominion comes into this world when we live by faith, by the evidence of things not seen. We just read that in Corinthians 4. That's when we have dominion. Nothing is going to change out in this world. Nothing's going to change. So we need to get over it. We need to just let that go, right, and get over it. You're never going to find victory or life looking by appearances, judging by appearances, ever. And whatever gospel you believed in, if you still believe in those things, you don't understand the real gospel. So whatever gospel you thought you know, you better take the whole thing out and wrap it up and throw it in the trash and start over. I mean, start from scratch. Because you can't bring any of that in and attach it to this gospel of understanding a God that judges the world in righteousness. You can't attach anything, not a thing, not a thought. And a lot of times when we go away and the cares of this world come in and attach themselves to this understanding, we start to wander off the rabbit trail again. We get on a rabbit trail, I mean. We start to, the cares of this world come in and start to choke out the truth. It doesn't mean you're lost. We thought the people were lost. He's talking about our own mind. And so what can you go out there with and help you with that? So we'll have dominion when we withdraw judgment from the world, when we understand righteous judgment, not righteousness, right? We got that? Not righteousness, but that place where righteousness and judgment meet. So to me, we've got to set aside righteousness and understand the judgment correctly first, to then understand righteousness correctly. Because we've misunderstood judgment. We don't understand it. This is the only place you're going to find the beginning of peace. This is where it starts, right here, is to get settled in this. And really, understanding a father that doesn't judge anyone helps. But it doesn't deliver us from us judging the world incorrectly. That works good for us, right? And that's a great starting point. But there's more to it than that. It's bigger than that, right? It's bigger than just understanding a father that doesn't judge anyone. Not only does he, because we think if he doesn't judge anyone, then we're just sitting back, you know, and we're okay. But we're still judging the world. That's the problem. See, we don't really understand that if we're saying something's wrong in the world. Right? We don't understand it. So, this is the only place where we're going to find peace and where we're delivered from anxiousness and frustration and desire. It begins now. It just begins. And I like the way Rex said it during the break, you know, because he said it in humility. I just started to get a glimpse of this God then. And it's like a hound dog on a trail when we get a little taste of it, you know, we go. You know what I mean. You don't turn around. You don't go back. So I want to repeat something again we said last time, but I want to bring it home again. How can we say we know the true God when we look at our neighbor and we curse them? Now that's a strong word, curse. You know, it doesn't mean you're swearing at them or something or whatever. We curse them by saying, if you don't understand truth, you're going to experience disease and poverty. That's pretty severe, isn't it? Now that I understand truth better, I don't get sick. I experience more prosperity. That's pretty arrogant. We call it spiritual arrogance or just arrogance, whatever you want to call it. That's pretty arrogant. I don't understand how these words can come out of our mouth and think we understand the real gospel. I can understand how the words come out of our mouth, but I can't understand how they can come out of our mouth and we say we understand the real gospel. That's what I don't understand, because they're a contradiction. The real gospel is a gospel of peace. It's not a gospel of prosperity, it's a gospel of peace. And it says the righteousness that the truth, the real truth, the wisdom that comes from above, right, is first peaceable. Peaceable. It says that first it's pure. Well, there isn't anything more pure than understanding the righteous judgment of God. It doesn't get more pure than that. I don't know how it could. How could it get any more pure than for us to realize that our Father that dwells within us says, I judge the world in righteousness. Doesn't get any more pure than that. So this thing that has to do with this conditional gospel, this thing that would measure it somehow by activity in this world is not true. It's not the real gospel. So I want to finish up by reading this passage, and I'll give you the notes. But I've got a revelation of the 144,000. Because revelation, and really all the works of John, to me, have the highest value to me, it's not that the other passages don't contain truth, but there's more truth in John's teaching than just about everything else in the Bible. So I always go there first, to his work first, to see if I can find something, you know, when I get a thread of understanding. And I usually find it somewhere in something he teaches. And so Revelation 14, 1 through 8, he says, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written on their forehead. A lamb is somebody who's surrendered. Lamb don't bite anybody. He certainly don't curse anybody. Right? Just the goats curse people. The lambs say amen. The goats say but. Right? There's always a but. That's nice truth, but. I like that but. There's always a but. The wisdom from above has no buts. It stops you in your tracks. And just like Mary, you ponder it. You say, what is the strange word I'm hearing? That's contrary to everything I'm seeing. It contradicts everything I'm seeing. What is the strange word? So the 44,000 are those that know, they know our Father, which we talked about this morning. Our Father that dwells within, that we feel flowing out. This Father that judges no man. This Father that sees the world in righteous judgment and the people with equity. That's what's written on their forehead. Those that understand, we're just beginning to understand that. Just beginning to understand it. He said, then I heard a voice from heaven as of many waters and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung a new song before the throne and before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And so now who were those that were redeemed from the earth? Those which were not defiled by women. Now, this isn't a male-female thing, right? Those that were not defiled by women is those that did not follow the heritage of what they've been taught being born as human beings. They weren't defiled by women, right? They began to see a God who judges the world in righteousness. Now, it doesn't mean we're special. This has nothing to do with meaning we're special. It just meant while they were on this earth, in this realm, they really began to see this Father that judges no man in a pure way. And they ceased from judging the world. They ceased from it. That's who it's talking about. Now, these that cease from judging the world know that every man is as pure as the driven snow. They don't judge men anymore after the manner of men. They don't do it anymore. That's what it means. So we think, well, there's 144,000. It isn't talking about a specific number. It's just saying there are people before they left this realm that saw the kingdom of God in its pure state. That's what it's talking about. And as we go, you'll see it. It's going to tell us that. It said, for they are virgins. Well, virgin of mind, right? They are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, from among the philosophy of men, right? They were redeemed from among men. They no longer judged after appearances, but judged righteous judgment. They were redeemed from that. Being the first fruits unto God, and to the Lamb. and in their mouth was found no guile. No guile is righteous judgment. In their mouth was found no guile. Now, that's not talking about you getting mad at your wife and kicking her. It's talking about knowing this truth within you. It's not talking about you speaking something. It's talking about just knowing the difference. Just know the difference. Don't judge yourself for judging people. You'll spin yourself into a grave, okay? Because we go around and we start saying, oh, you're judging somebody. Well, you're judging somebody for judging somebody, so be quiet, right? We're talking about these big things now. We're not talking about the little, forgive people for the little nitpicky things. We're talking about understanding a father that doesn't judge the world. That's what we're talking about here. Hang on to that, right? That's what it means by there was no guile in them. They really saw this, right? They saw it. For they were without fault before the throne of God, because they knew God said they were without fault. Because they heard it. They heard it. And they knew it was the true of their neighbor too. That's why they had no guile. They didn't speak it about their neighbor either. They didn't say, oh yeah, I know, I've got no fault. Praise God. I taught Sunday school 50 years. I'm a Sunday school superintendent, you know. I was going to tell you a story, but I can't do it. I have to wait. You don't want to hear it. It ain't going to help you. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel. Having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell under the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Oh, an everlasting gospel. What that means, it's always been true, doesn't it? It's never not been true because God changes not. It's the same gospel that Rex was talking about in Genesis 1 when God rested in his love and said it was all good. And then off we went into hell and destruction right after that, right? In Genesis 2, we took off into hell and destruction and we liked it. We liked it. We made dens there. We bought yachts there. We built houses there. And we thought that was heaven. But then the neighbor's house burned down. I said, oh, well, must be they're not living right. It's nuts, isn't it? It's crazy. So, these people that understood the everlasting gospel began saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, are we going to go back and misinterpret that word judgment again? I think we've learned no better, right? So, they were saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of understanding righteous judgment has come. It's time for you, you right here, it's time for you to understand righteous judgment. Not a judgment that condemns, right, Jerry? We know that. We got that one down. That's tattooed on our forehead, isn't it? That's what it's talking about. That is marked on our forehead. You're never going to forget it when you got it. So judgment don't mean bad things, does it? Not if it's God. If it means bad things, it means it's us. The hour of His judgment has come, and they worship Him now, because they're pretty excited when they find out righteous judgment. Aren't they? That's why every knee will bow in thankfulness and gratefulness. Because no matter what I've done in hell, He's loved me beyond what I can understand in a way that's called loving kindness. Not just love me anyway, like a mom. Well, he murdered somebody, but he's my boy. I still love him. That's not what it's talking about. It's a kind love. It's a merciful love. It's a love that doesn't see anything but himself in you. That's all he sees. That's the kind of judgment we're talking about. We haven't understood that word correctly, guys. I haven't understood it correctly. And we better say that. If we don't say it, then we're still hanging on to the wrong version of judgment. See, we can't brag about what we know. I want to come in there every time and say, whatever I've said, I've got to let it go because I want to hear what's fresh. I want to speak what's right now. Now, I want to go back and focus in on a couple things that emphasize this. These are they which were not defiled of woman, and in their mouth was found no guile. That's you, right here, right now, right now, right in this moment, right now. If it doesn't work now, it's never going to work. Because the truth doesn't dwell in time and space. So it has to work right in this moment, right now. What I'm saying to you has to be true. In you is found no guile. In you, you're not defiled from your heritage, from your history, from what your parents taught you. You're not defiled by that. And why is that? Revelation 12:11 tells us. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word spoken of their testimony, because they loved not their life unto death. These there was found no guile, who loved not their life unto death. That's what raises my hand and say, I haven't understood judgment. I haven't understood judgment. Because it's been tainted. I haven't understood righteousness because it's been tainted with my own understanding. Because I've kept seeing something wrong out there. That something needs to be restored out there. And this is why God isn't doing anything about it. Because he says, I see the world in righteousness. I see the people upright. That's why nothing's happening. He says, I got no problem with it. What's your problem? Well, if we all didn't have any problem anymore, it'd be restored, wouldn't it? Right? But we got a problem with it. So I'm part of the problem. If I got a problem with it, I'm part of the problem. Right? But we've loved not our understanding of life unto death. Because now, this isn't talking about physical death. He says, I have the keys of hell and death. When you're in hell, you're dying every day to every hell you create. It's a death. You're dying. You're dying in there. You're dying because you aren't understanding your own life, your own righteousness. You're dying. That's what it means. They loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their own understanding unto death. They loved not their own understanding of their view of the world unto death. They let it go. And in that, there was no guile. In that, they weren't defiled from their history and heritage. So it's nobody's fault. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents taught their kids how to worry, how to be afraid, how to be careful. And it's been going on. It's been handed down from generation to generation. This breaks the curse. This is going to break that curse of condemnation and judgment of the world. So why don't we just be still a few minutes and we'll be done.